Sometimes when things go wrong in my house, I have this weird habit of just kind of praying about it and hoping that it just goes away. You never know. God can do miracles, can fix things randomly without me participating. But typically, sometimes problems and things break that I have to actually take care of. A week or so ago, for a little while now, the sheetrock drywall stuff has been falling in the corner of my garage, just sort of leaning down a big, huge piece. And at first, I thought, well, it's no big deal. It looks kind of weird, but it's not hurting anything. But it just kept going to where it's landed on top of one of my garage rails, and so I couldn't get the garage door open. So that's a little bit more of a problem. So I decided to fix it. I went out there, and I'm propping it up. I'm on a ladder. You know, I'm leaning into the sheetrock and holding it up with one hand and trying to screw it in with the other. And before I got too far, I always check when something like that falls, because there's a creepy attic above there, and I didn't want some dead animal or person up in there or whatever. So I checked and saw it was okay, so that I'm propping it up. But it's starting to kind of crack and fold, and I can't get a big enough piece up. And so I just came to the conclusion that I can't do this by myself. I just can't. And then I remembered that I had two sons that perhaps could be my drywall jacker people, you know, and help hold it up. And so I got a long board. I got one of my sons, and we put it up against the big piece. It was probably a 4 or 6 foot long piece. And then he pushed it up and held it there. And it was great. You know, an hour and a half later, I had screwed most of it in and stuff. And so it's not totally fixed, but it's at least up there. And my point is, I could not have done it without my son. So spiritually speaking, we as Christians, we can't save ourselves from our own sin, right? Because we got sin of our own, and God's holy, and we need to take care of this sin problem. Jesus does that for us on the cross. He dies to take the penalty away from us and pays the penalty for our sins. So he saves us, sort of like my son saves me. But living the Christian life, we can't live the Christian life after we're saved without the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that God gives us that imbues us with courage and faith and knowledge and awareness of what Jesus taught and the strength to live life. So as we're talking in the series about how to live in a way to reflect God's glory to the world, to people, we're going to need to talk a little bit about, which we are this morning, about the Holy Spirit, because we can't live in a way that honors God without the Holy Spirit helping us. He's the one that makes it possible. And the way that Paul explains it, remember we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul is sort of justifying his authority and all the things that he has a right to tell the Corinthian church, trying to help them grow. But he explains it in the way of the new covenant. There's an old covenant that's talked about in the Old Testament, several actually, but one of primary importance, and the new covenant that Paul talks about here in 2 Corinthians 3. And so I just want to talk about that covenant and what that means for a little while this morning and see what we can learn about the Holy Spirit and how this impacts our lives. The question I ask is, why do we need a new covenant and what does it accomplish? Okay, let me pray just real quick and then we'll jump in. Father, we love you. We're grateful for the scripture that teaches us about very important aspects of our relationship with you. Father, without this new arrangement, this new covenant between us and you, we wouldn't have peace or forgiveness or joy or the Holy Spirit or anything like that. And so thank you for loving us enough to do that for us. Help us understand it. Help us be inspired and thankful because of what you've done, and help us live more effectively and with more courage and joy out in the world as we try to reflect your glory to others. Again, Jesus, we love you. Thank you for what you've done for us. Holy Spirit, speak to us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So why do we need it and what does it accomplish? First of all, the new covenant fixes the problem of a hard heart and a rebellious spirit. It fixes the problem of a hard heart and a rebellious spirit. I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4. Paul, again, is justifying his call as God's servant, as God's apostle, talking to the Corinthians about they need to listen to him and follow his word. He's trying to help them in their relationship with Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4 says, "Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. We have the ability to stand before you and speak because of God helping us do it. We can't do it on our own. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence and our confidence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers or servants of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." Paul is really, in a very familiar way to the people that would have read this text or heard it being read, explaining his role as kind of fulfilling the role of the prophets in the Old Testament in a much more powerful way as he talks about Christ. So he's saying, I can't do it without God's Spirit. The Spirit gives life. The letter does not. And I'll explain to you a little bit more about those terms. But in Exodus chapter 4, we find a very similar situation of Moses responding to the call of God, just like Paul responded, and of God saying, you can't do this, I'm going to have to help you do this. So remember Exodus chapter 4, Moses is called to lead the people out of Egypt. He's the mediator of the Sinai covenant, the old covenant that we'll talk about. But Moses said to the Lord, he's being called by God to do this, O Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I will help you speak, and I will teach you what to say. God says, look, Moses, don't worry about it. I've got you covered. You can't do this on your own, but I, through my Spirit, will help you do this. Paul is the same way. He can't lead and plant churches and help people know about Christ without God's Spirit helping him and giving him confidence and courage and knowledge along the way. God's the one that's made him sufficient. God's the one that has helped him fulfill his role in the church. Just like me with that silly drywall experience, Paul recognizes that he can't do certain things by himself, that the sin that has corrupted the whole world, his sin nature is totally broken. He can't fix himself. He can't fix the problems of other people, but he can share the hope that comes from this new covenant relationship. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability to have our heart transformed so that we can live differently. For example, I'll talk about this a little bit in the second point about obedience, but have you ever had a sin or a struggle that you tried to get past, but the more you tried, the worse it got? You're trying really hard. You're trying to be good. You're trying not to tell a lie. You're trying not to worry or have anxiety over certain kinds of things. You're trying to manufacture solutions. And God in his economy, the way that he created you and I, is trying hard through self-effort is never going to work. We only make changes in our life by dependence and brokenness and surrender and saying, God, I give up trying to do this on my own. I need your help. I need help with my rebellious heart. I need help with my prideful spirit. Why is it that we think that we can fix our own problems? It's a part of that brokenness inside of us that Christ has to take care of. So this new relationship, those problems are fixed by grace and God's will. The old relationship with the Sinai covenant was mediated by Moses, and it was basically people of God, listen to my servant Moses. He will help you understand who I am. Have faith in me. I will take care of you, and you should want to follow my laws because the law is good, and it will help you understand more of who I am. That was the old arrangement. The new arrangement is we can't possibly do it all on our own. We can't fulfill the law. We can't be holy on our own. We need God's help. That's the first idea. The second is this. It fixes the problem of obedience. It fixes the problem of obedience. So again, let me just go to a passage in the Old Testament. It's in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, a long time ago, was a prophet talking about this new covenant idea. And he says this in verse 31, the time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the old covenant that I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt. Because why? They broke my covenant, though I was a husband and a nurturer and a parent to them. They basically rebelled and could not fulfill their end of God's promise of provision. We don't have the ability to obey, history has proven, unless the Spirit intervenes for us. So back in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4, just quickly, and such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are content in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our confidence comes from God. He has made us competent as servants and ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. It comes from the Holy Spirit in us that makes us confident and helps us obey. For the letter of the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. So one of the things that we always have to remind ourselves as sort of New Testament believers, 21st century Christians, is the law was never evil or bad. The law flowed from God and was a picture of how God wanted us to live, and it was a provision to help us know him. But it was never to fulfill the law to have a relationship with God. That's impossible. The law pointed out that we needed God. But if we had faith, we should want to fulfill the law. So the letter representing the law, it's not an evil thing. It's just an inadequate covenant. The old Sinai covenant, symbolized by the Ten Commandments and the sign of circumcision and those kinds of things, be my people and I will help you. You live faithfully to the law. It wasn't bad. It was just inadequate. It was trying to be obedient to the law without the Holy Spirit. When you have the Holy Spirit in your life, at that point of confession of faith, when you're indwelt with God's Spirit, He has the ability to help you obey that you could not do on your own. The Holy Spirit is who transformed our hearts, makes us alive in Christ, and makes obedience possible. Again, Jeremiah 31. Let's read more about this promise that was spoken by Him for us. Verse 33, this is the covenant I will make. This is the new covenant that I'll make with Israel after that time. I will put my law in their minds and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. I will transform them so much so that they'll realize they can't do things on their own. They're going to depend upon my Spirit, and the Spirit will help you obey and do the things that you couldn't do on your own. Jesus came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. He fulfilled it perfectly. His death on the cross took our place. We should have paid that penalty and died on our own. When we receive Christ into our lives, we receive the promise of this new covenant, the promised provision of obedience, which is the Holy Spirit that helps us live. The book of Ezekiel talks about that as well. I've read this to you before, but let me read it again. Ezekiel, the prophet, is talking about this idea of new covenant as well in chapter 36, verse 10. It says, one day I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Do you know the sequence there? Did you follow it? I will give you a new heart. I will transform your heart and give you a new spirit. And then you'll have the ability to obey. Not before, not in your own strength, not because of your intellect or anything like that. I will give you the ability to do the things that you thought were impossible to do. One of the ideas here about the Holy Spirit guiding us and helping us obey is that this new covenant isn't really a partnership. It's God fulfilling all ends and aspects of the covenant. I will provide forgiveness for you. I will give you a new heart. And that Spirit, which is also me, I will help you obey. All you have to do is have faith and trust in me. Trust in Jesus Christ and what He's done for us. It's not something that you partner with. It's something that you participate in because of God's mercy, because of His grace, because of His gift of the Holy Spirit. All of those things are fulfilled because God fulfilled the covenant that we couldn't possibly fulfill on our own because of the redemption, the forgiveness that comes through Jesus Christ and the cross. That makes it possible to have our hearts transformed. He's the one that fixes the problem that we couldn't solve and helps us obey. When we disobey, have you thought about this just a little bit in your own life? When we disobey, what is it that we're communicating about our relationship with God when we say, like, steal something? I don't know when's the last time you've stolen something, hopefully not recently, but when you steal something, what are you saying about your relationship with God? You're saying, God, I don't trust you to provide for me, so I have to take something on my own, okay? I am going to be the provision. I'm sort of making up my own covenant rules. You're not going to give me something, so I sin, and I'm not going to obey, and then I take charge of my own. How about when you covet something, when you sort of really want something? The other day I was at Cumberland Farms, and a guy had a really sweet Mustang, and I lingered long and hard when I looked at it, and then he started it up, and it was, you know, it was just like, man, my life would be so much better if I had that car. You know, I mean, all my problems would be gone. It's just weird how your mind sort of works. And when I covet like that, what does that say about my relationship with God? God, I don't trust your provision, and I'm not going to get satisfaction out of anything, you know, except the stuff that I want. Basically, God, you're not going to satisfy my soul. That car is. And I don't need you, God. When I complain about my life, when I complain about my circumstances, I know I should obey, and the New Testament says clearly, don't argue and complain about things. When I complain, what does that say about my relationship with God? I don't trust you to give me what I need. I don't trust in your sovereignty and your plan. I have to have what I want in order to be fulfilled in life. So the old covenant led to this rebelliousness. It was supposed to be a way for us to explore and understand who God is. but it pointed out that we're completely lost and broken without Christ. So the new covenant arrangement comes along, and the foundation is forgiveness through Jesus Christ that we didn't deserve. The provision of the new covenant is the Holy Spirit to help us obey when we couldn't. And finally, sort of the promise end of this new covenant is this idea that we can know God directly. So the new covenant helps us break the back of our rebellious, sinful heart. It helps us obey through the role of the Spirit, but it also helps us directly relate to God. And we don't need a human mediator. We don't need someone to speak to God on our behalf. Again, in Jeremiah 31, verse 34, no longer, one day with this new covenant takes hold, no longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more. You're not going to need Moses anymore to go up on a mountain and bring back the Ten Commandments and to speak on your behalf. You can go into the presence of God yourself. In fact, he indwells you through his Spirit and transforms our hearts so that we can be holy and blameless before him. If you remember how it worked in the Old Testament, if somebody saw God face to face, what happened to them? They would die. It was said that they couldn't live. Isaiah the prophet dropped over with a glimpse of understanding the nature of who God when he spoke, and it was though he were dead just listening to the call of God on his life. He was sinful and recognized it. If you think about it, God was incredibly gracious and merciful to use a mediator in the Old Covenant, because if God would have showed up and spoken to us directly, we would have been destroyed, because we've got sin in our lives, right? And God can't have anything to do with sin. But what happens with a new covenant is we're forgiven of those sins. Those sins don't exist anymore. Now, in our humanness and our brokenness, we still struggle. We remember the things that we've done wrong. But when God relates to us through his Holy Spirit, he doesn't see the sinful side of who we are in our relationship with him. He sees his son Jesus, his perfect provision. And we're holy before God and blessed and forgiven and can relate to him directly. We don't need other kinds of things. So you might ask the question, I mean, I did this week, if we can relate to God and directly go into his presence, why do you need a pastor? Why do you need a priest? What do you think? Well, you don't need me for salvation. I hope your salvation is not based upon me. I hope you realize that. You need Jesus Christ for forgiveness. But we still live in a broken world, and God provides shepherds and apostles like Paul and preachers and shepherds like me to help you understand this new covenant relationship that you're in, help you understand Scripture and how much God loves you and how much you don't have to carry the guilt of your sins anymore. You are forgiven for all that you have done, and you can move past it, and God can help you with anything that's going on in your life. So we're God's servants and assistants to help you hopefully fall more in love with God and trust him more. Really what we are is, like Paul's the mediator of the Holy Spirit in this idea of the new covenant, Paul brings the reality of the Spirit. We're kind of shepherds and mediators of God's Spirit so that you'll understand he's the one that will help you learn and grow and be changed in this life. I'm glad that God provides this idea that we will be directly in God's presence forever through the Holy Spirit. I get such comfort about this. I read an article a while back. You remember when Notre Dame had the big fire in France? It burned down. The people who were over in France were just devastated. A lot of people over there don't necessarily have a genuine faith, but their faith was in sort of the liturgy and the tradition of a place like Notre Dame. And several French women in this article that I was reading about said that my understanding of God and my life here on earth will never be the same. I've lost Notre Dame. I've lost it all. And really, I get the sentiment of that, but your faith isn't in me. Your faith isn't in a church. Your faith isn't in doing something on your own effort to get rid of sin in your life. Your faith is just becoming completely broken and surrendering to God and saying, I need your help. I can't do this on my own. And when you do that, he says, I directly will enter your life and you will be with me forever. If you think about it, in some ways our eternal life starts now. It's not complete. It's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. We're not in heaven with Christ yet to see him as he really is, but we will be one day. And that's because of this new covenant that God has graciously given us. And again, with Memorial Day and different things like that, it really, I get kind of sentimental and thinking about people that I've known and that I don't know anymore in this life, and how thankful I am for people. One of those people is my grandfather. I love him, and I lost him back in the late 70s. And I just have so many great memories of him speaking so many good things into my life, and I really miss that, right? So he taught me to love to read, and he taught me to love to drama and poetry and those kinds of things. He taught me to love music. He taught me to love crossword puzzles, one of the best things in the whole world. He got me going on a lot of these kinds of things, and I really miss having him around, especially on Memorial Day. He was a Navy medic. He served in World War II, went through some pretty tough things in the Pacific theater, and then 5 years later got out, and it's hard to believe, you know, you go for 5 years, and then I'll see you later, and then you come back. How do you even know your family and stuff like that? He sacrificed greatly. He signed up for the reserve to earn a little bit of extra money and got drafted to go to Korea. My grandmother was pretty hot about that, but he was such a good guy. And one day he took me out into the backyard, and he taught me to sing a song. He wanted me to be able to sing and do things like he is. And I don't know if you're familiar with Navy songs by nature. Not of them all are very good or wholesome. But he got such a kick out of teaching me this song. It had something to do with drinking and women and a woman that was well endowed, and I won't go into anything more about it. It was just this kind of not very biblical song. But he wanted me to go into the room and sing it for the family, and he was so proud. So he set me up. He introduced me. Cousins and everybody are around. He goes, Derek has got a song that's really important to him that he wants to sing to you. I was 7 years old. I didn't know what I was really singing about, but I belted it out with great passion. And I will never forget the horrified look on my mom and my grandmother's face. But then I'll also never forget my grandfather literally laughing and crying at the same time because he thought that was so funny. I miss that with him. I missed a lot of my life growing up without him around. But because of that new covenant, and he and I both being directly in the presence of God, we probably won't sing Navy songs, but we're going to sing songs together again in heaven. And we're going to laugh, and we're going to talk about how good God is to allow us to be in a relationship with one another. And so I get such joy and gratefulness out of thinking about those things. So I just want you to review with me just real quickly the nature of the new covenant so that you'll understand how much God loves you and understand how important this is. So the foundation of the new covenant is forgiveness. God says, you can't forgive yourself. I will forgive you through my son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. That's the foundation. That's the provision that only God can provide for us. We can't forgive ourselves, can't get rid of our sin nature by ourselves. The provision of the covenant to make this possible is the Holy Spirit. God says, I will give you my Holy Spirit that will help you live your life. So the foundation is forgiveness. The provision of the covenant is the Holy Spirit. The consequence of the covenant, you know, sort of the fruit of the covenant, is obedience. We now can obey when we didn't have the chance to be able to obey before. And the promise of the covenant was what I was just talking about. We're going to be in God's presence forever because he upholds both ends of the covenant. He fulfills and provides these benefits, and we are going to be with him forever. So I know that probably if you're here on a Memorial Day weekend, you probably have a relationship with Jesus Christ, which is awesome. I want you to be thankful and learn about this covenant and what is the reality of your life. But just in case you haven't, I would ask you to enter into that covenant by faith. It's basically just admitting that you're sinful and you can't forgive yourself, that you need Jesus Christ's death on the cross to pay for your sin, that he lived a perfect life and fulfilled the law that you couldn't do. And by trusting in him and receiving and believing in him, the promise of conquering sin and death in our lives through the resurrection will come true. It came true for Christ. He conquered all those things. He rose from the dead. We will rise from the dead and live forever with him as well. So I would just encourage you to talk with God if that's not you. And again, if you still have more questions, feel free to keep coming. We have people coming in and out of our doors all the time that haven't made this decision yet. I'd love for you to make it today. But if not, keep coming and let us help you in any way that we can. For the rest of us, let's just be really grateful for what God has done, providing a relationship with him that we couldn't do on our own by any means. And let's be thankful and grateful today. Father, we just want to say how much we love you, how thankful we are for your word, how thankful we are that you're faithful to your covenant promises, and you have provided a way for us to know you directly without the help of anyone else, just your spirit in our hearts. Thank you for doing that. Give us peace, give us hope, give us joy, give us confidence like you gave Paul. Father, our service to you, whether we're a pastor or just a layperson, business person, whatever we do in our lives, our service is not based upon our own abilities. It's based upon your grace and the Holy Spirit. So help us take confidence in you providing what we need, you helping us speak, you helping us serve, and not trying to do it in our own effort. Again, we love you, and just we're so grateful for the reality that's ours. Thank you that you have transformed our hearts so that obedience is possible, and may we live again, not only just this weekend and thinking about being so grateful and humbled for the gift of life that you've given us through sacrificial service of human beings, but also the ultimate sacrifice of you, Jesus. We'll be lost without you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Say you go.